Okay, I'm just doing my podcast, so I'm welcoming everybody to Intellectual Discussions, and I want to thank you all for joining me here. Sorry, it's been so long since the previous one that we had. So, if you don't mind, I'd like you all to introduce yourself, please. Starting with, I saw on the list from what I'm seeing, Mr. David Halen.
Hello. Well, as Trevor just said, my name's David. I'm in construction equipment hire, living in the East Midlands. I've been living up here for quite a few years now. I have to get out of the rat race in London. And yeah, that's me.
Okay. And Kenny?
Hello. Hi, everyone. This is the first time I've joined this podcast. But yeah, I've known Trevor for many, many years. Go way, way back. And I guess profession-wise, how can I put this? I work for local government, in a particular local authority in the north of London, which I shall not reveal. That's me.
All right, and Derek?
Hi, everyone. My name's Derek. I live out in the southwest. Been here for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now. I've known Trevor quite a few years as well. So, yeah, I'm into IT. That's what I do for a living myself. Yeah, so welcome, everyone.
Excellent. And last, Marie. Last but not least.
Hi, everyone. My name is Marie Mandy Hunt. I'm a professional football agent. I live between Liverpool and London.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining me.
Thank you very much. Oh, one more person sitting next to me. Oh, Christine, want to introduce yourself?
My name is Christine. I live in South Wales. I work for a charity supporting older people to live at home.
Brilliant.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello.
Or Borja, I should say.
That's the worst business going on now, isn't it?
Well, I want to thank you all for joining me in this session that we're having on this podcast. It's a blessing to have you all here. So the first one we want to talk about is the cost of living rises and how we are managing. So I don't know who wants to start, but I mean, how is it affecting you and how have you found a way of getting around it, surviving, I guess? Okay, let me start with Kenny on that one. How are you finding it, Kenny?
Well, I think luckily in terms of transport and so on, I mainly work from home. So, you know, it's hybrid working, but we are able to spend most times working from home. And that in itself has just generated savings, so to speak. Yes, it's made quite a lot of difference in terms of travel costs, that's for sure. In terms of shopping, I mean, you may have heard recently about the increase in the rate of inflation, even though Mr. Sunak was making certain assertions about inflation reducing. It's actually increased slightly recently, and that's apparently mainly attributable to the increase in food base.
But how do you find it?
How do I address that in terms of shopping? Well, I've started to use coupons. I've started to use points and coupons and things like that wherever I can find them, like with Lidl, for example. It's barely a drop in the ocean. Doesn't make much difference, but I think like everyone else generally is like, hey, trying to take the hit, you know, and trying to make certain adjustments, but it's taking its toll. And same for everyone else. You really feel the difference. So in terms of how has it affected me, most definitely. Yeah, shopping. I mean, we've got two elder boys who are at uni at the moment. And I shudder to think if they were here, you know, like, you know, young people like, or teenagers, you know, they can eat you out of house and home, food-wise, emptying out the fridge. The fact that they're not here at the moment has made a big difference shopping-wise as well. So we'll be lucky in that respect. But Easter's coming, they'll be back here. So it's about taking the hit. And we've all taken the hit, there's no doubt, I feel.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I was going to say, with people who have children, kids, rather, it's going to hit them the hardest, because I know for me, the electric and gas is, I mean, although they're saying it's coming down for who, as far as I'm concerned, the electric and gas is still exceptionally high, and I've had to put on a lot more than I would normally have done. I mean, the amount that I'm putting on in terms of my electric and gas would normally last me at least, the amount that I put on, I'm saying, would normally last me about at least 2 months easy. I could easily put on, you know, I could put on, like, say, £100 and back in the day, that would last me, 2 months and change? Whereas now, that £100 may last me 2.5 weeks. May. So it's very expensive. So how is it affecting you, David? Because, I mean, you, David and Derek, you're both outside of London. I mean, obviously, it may not make a difference, but are you finding it tough out there as well? Because maybe you guys live in an area where it's colder, or...
What do you think, we live in the North Pole, bro?
Well, I don't know, man.
You can tell the people that don't come out of London, yeah?
Well, you keep moving, you know what I mean? So I'm just thinking, have you moved already? You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just saying.
In all fairness, I think, like, you know, most people are going to be feeling the pinch, you know, unless you're fortunate enough to be one of like the 5 percenters or whatever, then of course you're going to notice the changes, and it's going to be the same regardless of, you know, whether you live, you know, down south or, you know, further up north, it's the same for everybody. You know, you can't produce what you don't have, right? So you have to cut where you can or find a little bit of extra disposable income to pay this extra bill or that extra bill. But it, you know, it is what it is. And I think the main issue that I have had is that, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have a reasonable disposable income, but that's obviously being eaten by a lot of the additional costs. So yeah, like the guys I mentioned before, shopping and everything else, but the electric bills and stuff have just been crazy. Like, we've gone through, like most people, several energy providers that have gone bust, and then we ended up with Shell. It wasn't a choice, it just happened because, you know, they were one of the only companies that were, at the time, being able to give energy or whatever to people's houses. Yeah, but obviously it's gone up so much, and to the point where they start calling you like 2 or 3 times a day sometimes to ask you about bills and stuff like that. And I think we were paying, if I remember correctly, we were paying something like £50 a month or whatever, and it's gone up to like, well over £100 more than that each month, and it continues to go up, and it's like, you know, wow, you start to feel it now. But, you know, you've got to, you know, whereas you, certain people might shop at Waitrose or whatever, you'll find yourself in your Aldi's or Lidl's or whatever to try and save a few pennies, and I don't know, you just got to try and figure it out, really, haven't you?
What about you, Derek? I mean, you live near the sea, you know. You must have the wind blowing on your...
I suppose I don't visit Waitrose so much now. If I do, I don't need to buy the things I really need. But on the whole, I'm just mindful what I pick up now. Whereas you look at Anchor Butter, and it used to cost, I don't know, £2, and now it's £2.75.
Wow.
I get Tesco's own brand, but I still like my bottles of wine. I still like my beer. And I'm being fortunate enough to be able to still carry on. So in regards of gas and electric bill, it's high, but my motto is keep it on low all the time. That way you don't have to keep on turning it on for to heat the house up again. So if it's on low all the time, it's better to have it on low all the time than
But does that actually work?
I don't know, man. It works for me, I suppose, because, I don't know, it's just... Sometimes I turn it off if I'm too hot, and sometimes I just put it on.
Okay.
But on the whole, yeah, I just want to be mindful of what you pick up and what you buy, and try and get a good deal. And on your special occasions, you go to something like your Marks and Spencers or your Waitrose.
Mm-hmm.
But then normally it's either Tesco's. I think I've been to Aldi a few times. But yeah, I mean, you just got to be mindful about what you're buying these days and what's in your basket. But as long as you've got the essentials in there, you're fine.
And what about you, Marie? Are you experiencing the high, you know, energy bills and crisis and stuff?
Of course, the pinch. I think everybody's feeling the pinch at the moment. Yes, because I do. My home in Liverpool, I still have to pay my bills and stuff like that. Everything is expensive. Everything has gone up. So you just, as they say, what can you do? You just have to get on with it, really. Everybody's talking about Waitrose. Waitrose is the nearest shop to me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll have to drive all the way to the big supermarket. The petrol is expensive as well. Oh, so I try not to drive that far.
I was just saying the cost of petrol has really come down a lot recently.
Yeah, but then everything else is up, you know.
I'm even dreading
that the insurance will go up.
Yeah.
The car tax will go up. I'm due MOT. That I don't think it will go up, but the servicing will go up because what I paid last year and what I paid the year before last is a huge difference of £150. So I'm dreading that. But that's it. What do you do? I went to Waitrose and I bought like about 7 items, and it comes to like £47 something.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, they might be, no, she overcharged me. This can't be right.
Mm.
And she was like, do you want your receipt? Yes, please. I brought the receipt back with me, calculated everything. That's it. No, she did not overcharge me. That's just how much it costs. And this is not like the special things. These are just the supermarket's own brand. So that's how things are. And the African store is even more expensive. But most of the time I went to Clapham Junction. There's an Ghanaian store there where I can get all my African food. And this lady is just, I'm like, that wasn't the same last week. And she's like, you know, I have to pay tax and I have to bring them all over from Africa and all that, understandably. So, you know, that's just how things are. We just have to keep going. We're just on a survival mode at the moment, everybody.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
I definitely understand that. So how would you go about saying to people on what they need to do to reduce their bills? Because obviously everyone's...
That's a smart meter.
I was going to ask about that. Does anyone have a smart meter? And does it make a
difference? I do.
I don't. But,
I've been reluctant.
I was like you, Kenny. I was reluctant. And then I saw the light, man, and I had to do it. And I did it. And it's good to see because you
can monitor much more beyond.
Yeah, and you can see it. You can see the money's going. That's why I was able to say to you, I put £100 on and it lasts just over 2 weeks. Just. Because it tells you how many days it will last.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You hear the horror stories about people converting to smart meters and then they're having these sort of like sudden extortionate costs and it seems to be more expensive somehow or...
Just tells you how much you've used and what it's cost. So it doesn't interfere with the price of what you're paying.
Yeah.
I think you're on about a prepayment meter.
Oh, no, I was talking about smart meters.
Well, you can get smart meters for prepaid.
All right.
Yeah, because a smart meter is just... Look at a smart meter as a monitor. It's just monitoring what it is that you've spent and how long it's lasting you and so forth. It depends on who you're with, because... Depending on who you're with, they provide more detail or some will provide less. Some will just provide the basics. I think what people want to see is how much they're actually spending, you know, how much does it come to? And then that way they can figure out where they can cut the costs in the house. So, for example, if everyone's got the lights on in their properties and they're realizing that the electric bill is kind of high, then if you take down, if you turn off one of the lights that you're not in the room using. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what people are noticing. So there is that. So, Christine, how are you experiencing this? Sorry, I almost forgot about you right there. Sorry.
well, I say I've got a smart meter, so I try and keep it to about £6-7 a day.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I have the family over, obviously I have the oven on and it goes over £10 a day. Mm-hmm. I've got a air fryer, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very careful not to fill the kettle and just put enough in for one cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have an air fryer. I mean, I have two. The first one I got was just your basic manual one where you do it yourself. And then obviously the notion went around to everyone and all of a sudden everyone's got one. So they brought out Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, you know, all of these things connected to it. So I've got the Bluetooth one just to see how it works, you know.
Cause it used to be with the government, if people were in crisis, there's certain loans that they'll give people. I think it's called a DAF. And they used to replace cookers. They don't replace cookers anymore. They give people an air fryer, a slow cooker, and I think it was something else. I can't quite remember. But they're trying to gear people away from the cookers because obviously they're so expensive to run.
But then so are air fryers. Not to run, but in terms of how much they cost, because now it's a deemed thing to have an air fryer, everybody's on it. Everybody's buying one. I mean, there was that one Ninja one or something like that.
I was scammed by my trying to buy my Ninja fryer. Tried everywhere. I found this website. I thought, it looks okay. I checked it out, sent the money off, and something tells me something. The way the emails were coming back to me about the status, and when I looked into the website, suddenly someone posted online saying it's a Russian company and it's a scam called Kitchenhof. Rang the bank up and told them what happened. And I wrote to them to find out what was going on. I knew it was a scam anyway, I wasn't gonna get back nothing. So I just got money back on my card. So I refuse to buy an car now.
Wow. But, you know, it's people, just opportunism at its finest right there, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Taking advantage of people in these situations.
They do it anywhere and everywhere. I mean, look at with the lockdown. I mean, things went up exponentially, and it was just ridiculous. Just to get toilet paper was like, what was it? A pack of four was £15 when it was normally £1.50.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
That's crazy. Okay, and the other discussion I wanted to talk about is finding work. And the reason why I put this on as a topic is because the way things are going, people are jumping ship from the jobs that they're in because the money that they're paying them isn't enough. You've got certain companies that are now doing a salary reflection. And so what that means is that they will hire in a company to look at the salaries that people are being paid, to see if they're being overpaid or underpaid. Obviously, if they've been underpaid, they'll have the salary be increased. If they're being overpaid, by law, they can't decrease their salary. But what they can do is freeze your salary until the cost of living for everyone else goes up. And I found that even where I'm working, I found that a lot of people are jumping ship. Because some companies are saying that they won't be able to increase the salary for nearly 5 years. You can't be on the same salary for 5 years. That's ridiculous. So,
it's people that are working for the public sector. I've been counting numbers there.
Say that again?
No, I remember working in the public sector in one of these so-called quangos back in the day when cameras was in charge, when he said, oh, we're all in this together and stuff. And yeah, we did have a pay rise for, it was probably more than 5 years during that period. So yeah, but then... Wow. Yeah, trust me, experience.
That's ridiculous.
It's a similar local government.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing all those strikes. Are you experiencing any issues on your side of things in terms of what you do? Do you find that the business that you do is lucrative? Or do you find that you have to, I don't know, do something more to get more income coming in? Because obviously the pinch is affecting everyone.
Yeah, I have an extra job on the side. But the nature of my job is... It's so silly, really, to be honest. As a football agent, there's only two transfer windows in the year. So there's one in June coming up soon, and the next one will be in December, which is just a small window. It's just a 30 days one. The June one runs till about August, and that doesn't guarantee you a pay. You can sell a player to a club, and then the money gets paid to the FA, which they just keep sitting in the bank to earn interest on it until it suits them to pay the agents. Before the club, all the players used to pay the agent straight away, and that was on the day of the signing. They sign the player, they pay your fees, you go your way. But now the rules have changed. The FA wants everybody to pay the money to them, the clubs to pay the money to them, and they decide when they pay the agent. So it can take anything up to 3 to 6 months.
Wow.
So, yeah, so you just have to do something else while you're waiting. So you just have to do something else in between and just keep yourself going, keep yourself afloat, keep ends meet until they're ready with their silliness, really. I think they're just doing it to... It's a scam. I mean, we all know FIFA is the biggest scam. That's what it is.
What's the average transfer fee now? When you look at the news sometimes, you get 80 million, 70 million. What's the average kind of standard transfer?
We used to charge, this is according to the FIFA rules, up to 10% of the negotiated fee.
Oh, wow.
So, but now they reduce it to 7.5. Why? I do not know. Because I think now, because they control the licensing of the agents.
Yeah.
Or when it was controlled by the FA, you have to sit an exam. That was then. That's when I started. Mm. You have to sit an exam and only the ones that pass becomes the agent. Wow. But now, FIFA took control. You just have to pay the fees and register. Then every year you have to, you know, re-register and pay more money to them.
Mm-hmm.
But use that money to 7.5. I do not understand why, because the clubs, I mean, the non-league clubs and the, you know, when you go from the League One to the bottom clubs, I can understand because they don't really have that much money. But Premier League brings in loads of revenue. If they can afford to pay the players that many money, they have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But why we have to, they have to cut our income.
Mm.